Welcome back to NALP's Young Professional Network podcast, growing in the green industry. Today's podcast is powered by our Young Professional Network partner, Steel. Steel makes a full line of gasoline and battery-powered outdoor power equipment for the demanding landscape professional. Find yours at steelusa.com. Your hosts today include myself, Brett Lemke, at RM Landscape, Skylar Westergaard, at Landcare. I thought instead of whip, I said at. How's that sound?
Either one.
Yeah, so just nailed it, right? So, how you doing?
Doing great. Brett, it's good to see you again.
And you too.
Glad to have our guest here today, Angela.
Yeah. Why don't you give her an introduction?
Yeah, Angela Hieronymus comes to us from Blades of Green. She is the Director of Engagement and Success at Blades of Green Lawn Care and BOG Pest Control. She has a diverse background in human resources, which includes tenure with Fortune 500 companies, nonprofits, and privately owned companies. Angela is known for her out-of-the-box recruitment tactics and has a passion for employee engagement, retention, and development. Those are the big three things that she's passionate about. She believes that it is our collective responsibility to make lawn care a viable career opportunity for those we employ and serve. And I'm excited to get into a discussion about all of those things, Angela. Is there anything that I missed?
So I did want to just make note that Blades of Green is now part of the Sinske family of companies. And just personally, you know, when I'm not working, I do have an 8-year-old, almost 9-year-old son, and who obviously, you know, keeps me very busy. And I love music, festivals, and great food, in case anybody was interested.
Music, festivals, and great food?
Yes. I mean, I would call myself a foodie.
Well, okay. So what is great food? How do we define great food to you, Angela?
I would say something that is unique and tastes delicious that you can only get in terms of, you know, it's a unique experience, great customer service, but also great tasting food.
All right, well, let's just run with that for the day here, right? Let's just stay in this. Who cares about landscaping part?
Well, we had it brings to mind an experience I had just a couple weeks ago with my friend who you also know, Chelsea Hartshorn. You were with her in Virginia, and her and I were having dinner at a conference a couple weeks ago in St. Paul, Minnesota, and she ordered oysters, which is a favorite of hers. And the waitress brought out the oysters in ice and then a dish, which she poured water into, and it had dry ice, and the whole table was just... You know, it's not smoke, but, you know, the vapor of the dry ice over the table. And I took a picture, and it was good food and a good experience and memorable. So that probably would fit into your standards there, Angela.
Absolutely.
Great food.
Absolutely. Sounds like my kind of place. I'll talk to you offline on where it was so I can check it out.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, those experiences, tell me, I think a lot of times often just the network that you've been a part of through NALP and other parts, and you get to, you know, fun parts is exploring not only local places, but around the piece. But, you know, I'm always curious for a lot of our listeners and your very strong connection to NALP, what got you involved in our association?
So I was very fortunate. Our previous owners, Mark Leahy and Brad Leahy. Brad Leahy is still very much involved in the business. They were always very passionate about our industry and got connected with NALP very, very soon, you know, in terms of their growth of their business and knew in terms of growing their business, partnering with the association was, you know, one way to do that. And so soon after I joined the company, which was in 2015, they encouraged my involvement. And so it really started with the workforce council. At that point, it was obviously pre-COVID, and they were having, you know, workforce, you know, at that point, you know, summits and things like that, where we were gathering to discuss workforce issues and how do we attract individuals to the industry. And so that's really how I first initially met a lot of the NALP contacts that I have now was through, you know, workforce development and now sit on the Workforce Council, and among, you know, some other things. So that has always been, you know, kind of at the heart of what I'm doing, you know, internally at Blades of Green, but also, you know, really have a passion for making this industry a viable career opportunity. I think sometimes the misconception is that it's just a short-term employment opportunity, but how can we make it attractive in terms of a long-range career opportunity? Because there's so many examples, especially as you go to these events and network, mm-hmm. of individuals who have really taken it from, you know, hey, I'm just here for the summer, to, hey, now I'm owning a business and have been in this industry for 20 plus years. So we have lots of stories to tell, and that's, you know, a great opportunity for an HR professional to really, you know, tell those stories.
I love that. Learning about why, you know, the why for you getting involved in NALP, and I want to get more into that question of how do we help people understand that this is a viable, great career opportunity. But before I do that, I want to ask a follow-up question to Brett's. And that is, if you will talk a little bit about what brought you into the landscape, horticulture, lawn care industry generally. I actually read a great article that you wrote in Lawn and Landscape magazine about the pressures on women. And there's a little bit in that about kind of what brought you in, but I'd love to have you share with our audience, like what brought you from some of the nonprofits and Fortune 500 companies that weren't in landscaping and got you interested in the profession.
Yeah. So honestly, this story is uniquely personal, but I'm happy to share it because I did share it obviously in that article. So it really was by happenstance that I stumbled upon this industry and upon Blades of Green. So I was in the nonprofit space and was fulfilling at that time a position as an interim executive director. Prior to that, I was their HR leader. And they had undergone some changes, lost funding, were repositioning themselves into a different company altogether. And they had decided to go into a different direction and hire an outside external candidate for the long range executive director role. So that left me with, you know, jobless and, you know, in need of a new opportunity. The sticky part of the situation was that I was pregnant at the time. And so this was November of 2014. They did not know that I was pregnant when I departed from the nonprofit. And I was kind of in this race against time because, as you know, you are kind of up against the clock when you start to show. And I, you know, while we love to think that as professionals, no one ever takes that into account when they're interviewing you or that sort of thing, the reality is that, you know, it could come into play as much as, you know, individuals try not to have that bias. So I had been, you know, scouring Craigslist, Indeed, anything. And, you know, I happened upon a family-owned business who had been in business for a substantial amount of time, who was looking for an HR leader. And I had multiple interviews at Blades of Green. I met with their accounting manager. I met with their office manager. I met with their operations manager. I met with Brad and Mark. And so it extended, you know, probably a month and a half long. And so with each interview, I was getting to know the company, I was getting to know them. And I knew that I really had an opportunity there. They had never had an HR person before. And so that's really how it all started. And for me, I never disclosed that I was pregnant during the interview process. And for me, that was a very tough thing to then get the job. And then, you know, the next day, here kind of carrying this secret. But the next day, I sat down with Brad and, you know, had a conversation with him like, hey, you know, I know May is when I was due, is, you know, the height of the spring season. And, you know, I'm going to be going out on leave. And he was like, okay, well, we have time. We'll figure it out. We support that. And so that said everything that I needed to know about the company and, you know, really the industry in general. So it, you know, I believe everything happens for a reason. And in that time of my life, that is exactly what I need. Blades of Green is exactly what I needed. And, you know, now kind of looking back on it, it really has been the best experience over the course of the last 9 years that I could have asked for. So yeah, so that was probably a long answer and maybe too much, but
no,
that's it.
You know, it's a great answer. It lets us kind of learn more about what, you know, brought you into the industry. And it brings up some other like important factors for many women in the working world and in our profession. You know, I have to admit, I have been following this kite baby kind of HR PR disaster. For those that don't know, a employee adopted a baby and was fired, you know, as a result of that. That's in really simple terms. So
yeah.
I think it's worth, you know, having conversations either, you know, as companies about how do we do better at, you know, avoiding the possibility of having those type of incidents happen where we don't and it's not just for women in our industry, but other situations that come up, mm-hmm. whether it be a pregnancy, an illness, health concern, problems with kids in school, you know, and you need time and you need space to balance that. I don't know if you have any thoughts about that, you know, from your HR perspective and in our industry, you know, how do we avoid some of those like big, like pitfalls, you know, with our people they're not easy, right? I mean, the kite baby situation is not a clear cut, right? Mm-hmm. It's not as black and white. So anyway,
yes.
Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I will say, you know, for my situation, it really brought up some healthy dialogue about maybe what was missing in our benefits and, you know, where were there some opportunities for us to improve our offerings to really make it a workplace that, you know, women would find as a viable career opportunities. So like, for example, you know, I think most of the time employers think that, you know, I need to offer like maternity leave, like that is where they go. But the reality was like, let's think about other ways that we could support, you know, our women in the workplace. And for us, that was offering short-term disability. And, you know, the reality is from an employer standpoint, there was no added cost to our benefits, you know, from a company standpoint. We didn't have to pay anything additional, but it was a voluntary offering that we were offering, you know, to our team members that they could, you know, sign up for that would give them, you know, pay for 6 weeks in the event that they needed it. Mm-hmm. And just by making that small change that didn't necessarily impact our business in any way, it helped, you know, us leaps and bounds in terms of, you know, our team member population. So I think it's always about just having some dialogue as a leadership team about, you know, we kind of have this misconception that it always just has to go like from 0 to 100, but are there baby steps that we could take in between that could also support the team, but not necessarily break the bank for the business. So, you know, that's what's worked for us. And certainly what I would recommend, you know, for other companies out there.
Yeah. I support the conversation starter of all that. And it's, you know, I can't say that it was COVID that did this, but it certainly exemplified a lot of pieces in terms of the amount of conversations, the way of a different way of looking at how we staff and what, you know, accommodations and how, we have a different look now. And I think we've all accommodated it, or it's blended within our organization pretty well. And it was awkward at first, or, you know, maybe a lot of, you know, the word trust came in quickly into that space, but now it's not as as unclear. But it doesn't start without someone being very honest and saying how I'm going to work through it, right? So we say, here's the job. Can someone help me with these accommodations? It's like, yep, but how do you still find your way to the winning, you know, that you still win within your role and pieces? And we've recently hired an HR person, and she has helped me tremendously start seeing things in a different perspective. And we started doing training. We've identified some folks in our organization have learning disabilities and need to be trained in different ways. And so we've got to make accommodations. Before this, I mean, we would have thought too many different things on that. We said, oh, we would have dismissed it, or said, this person's not right for this organization. But realistically, we're finding ourselves talking about, and I hope, I mean, it's early to say, but we hope that that person or those individuals that go through this see the value in us really trying hard. And it's not a money thing. You know, there's time and elements of things, of course, that come in place, but it was just, we're going to learn a lot through it, and we'll stumble a little bit, but it is, you know, not all organizations can hire HR to think this way, but it is about, can we start putting ourselves, asking the questions and sort of thinking a bit, a little further through.
Yeah. That reminds me, you know, I think in terms of COVID, you know, I think there were a lot of things that we learned, you know, from COVID, and I think a spotlight on mental health, you know, as we're thinking about like having conversations with team members and, you know, showing team members that we care, you know, a spotlight on mental health was certainly something that came out of COVID, I know for us specifically. And so, you know, something just very simple as having some candid dialogue with our team members about like what's going on in your personal life. And I know sometimes at first, like to your point, Brett, those can be kind of uncomfortable. Like, how do you have those initial conversations? And you certainly have team members who aren't going to be comfortable kind of explaining everything. But if we consistently ask team members in a very structured way, like, hey, what's going on? Like, you having a good day, bad day, you know, talk to me about, you know, what some of your personal goals are. And when we're facilitating those questions and asking more regularly and building a relationship, you know, that's where we find that, you know, the trust is built among the team member and their manager. And it's that information that really helps us, you know, learn about, is there an accommodation that needs to be made? Do we need to adjust your schedule because of, you know, a scheduling conflict? Or, you know, is a team member coming in consistently late? And can we work with them as opposed to just, you know, resorting to termination or something like that? So, yeah, all that to say, I think that dialogue and just having some candid conversations is absolutely critical.
Well, so we have, we talked about the deeper parts, but the idea is we have these seasonal changes. I think we were trying to get into, we talked earlier as the prep session was, you know, so what goes through your sort of, how do you look at a year? Especially when you, and we have a function of HR, recruiting, retention, all those pieces. Sometimes I was like, wouldn't it be just great to have one focus, one lane? Now your lane's quite large. I mean, that is a lot of things to be just thinking about versus production and finance and pieces. But so for those that don't have the luxury of having someone just focus on the HR components of the engagement piece, how do you map out a year, and what goes through your mind in terms of that strategy?
So that's a good question. So I will say, when I think about a year, one of the things that I always recommend, which is kind of against the grain, I would say, especially in our industry, is that you always need to be recruiting. I think sometimes especially in our industry, businesses think that, you know, it's the springtime when I should be recruiting. Like, I should be recruiting from, you know, maybe March until June. I don't know. But in terms of mapping out my year, it's always recruiting all the time. So I'm preparing a recruitment budget for all 12 months of the year. So that's the first thing. But then I also map out engagement events. So at Blades of Green, engagement, team member retention, having fun is super important to us. It's just part of our culture. So in addition to mapping out recruitment budget, I'm also mapping out an engagement budget, which includes an engagement event per month for our team. And then I take a look at the year end. And then we're talking about winter break. And we're very intentional about our language. So team members, employees, we're very intentional about them being team members. Layoff, we're very intentional about calling it winter break. And during winter break, we do tons of engagement during winter break. So our holiday party is always planned on winter break, because it's a way for us to bring those who are on winter break back into the fold and engage with the team while they're on winter break. Mm-hmm. We also, each division manager, so the pest division manager and the lawn division manager and their service managers, take the lead on contacting every team member who is on winter break once a week. And just doing a check-in, like, how you doing? Most of the time, you know, those team members are collecting unemployment during that time. So they're checking in about, like, hey, any issues with unemployment? That then gets back to me and my team, so that way we can follow up on it if necessary. But in terms of kind of mapping out the year, it's all based on recruiting. It's all based on engagement. And it's all based on that winter break. And how can we make sure that the individuals who do go on winter break, we're making sure that they're coming back for the season ahead. So that's how I map it all out.
So that's interesting. I heard you say, correct me if I'm wrong, Angela, that like your holiday party, you intentionally do it during Christmas break, not because there's less employees to buy food for. So, but you're doing that partly intentionally so that you can bring those that are on, that are not currently working or on that laid off on Christmas, you can bring them back in. Mm-hmm. It sounds like that was like the primary reason for timing it that way. So you can have that touch with them and say, okay, you're not working right now, but come back in. We're having the holiday party and keep them connected to the organization. That holiday party, as well as other things that you're doing. Did I understand
correct.
That right?
Yep. That's correct. Yep. Yeah. And so this year we also threw in a community event. So we hosted a blood drive. So again, you know, coupling that with the time of year. So we hosted a blood drive, invited not only the community, but those who were currently, you know, working in and around the office, as well as those on winter break, bringing them into the fold to see, you know, hey, come and engage with us in the community and give back and while you're, you know, on winter break and things like that. So we also use the time to do things like referral contests. So, you know, winter break team members, we reached out to them during those weekly check-ins, like, hey, would you be interested in, you know, while you're at home, engaging in a referral contest to get great new team members to, you know, join us in the 2024 season. So the goal was to get them to a recruitment event that we were having last week. So again, it's just kind of being poignant about making sure that we're touching those individuals who are on winter break. So that way they don't forget about us and they know, mm-hmm. like, even though you're on winter break, you're still connected with us. You're still part of the team. We're looking forward to having you back.
Yeah, I love it. We're a very seasonal. We do snow removal. And so there is a chance, or less this year than other times, but that we'll see you in the snow operations. But that, even that is, it's modeled completely different. Go directly to a site, perform a service at 1 o'clock in the morning. No one's really going to be hanging out then. Get it and get out, right? And so we miss those connection points. And so while we may see them and they receive paychecks time from time, you know, or they go on unemployment, other pieces, it's a really good, helpful point to have that engagement. Because oftentimes we make the assumption, well, we'll see you in the spring. But then all of a sudden, you know, 2 weeks out, and then we made this mistake. Hey, you come up? No, I found a better job. Or mm-hmm. I found a better job. And then here we are sort of surprised. And so how do you just stay in tune? And let people just know how strong their connection is. It's tough when we're just in these seasonal markets. We just, the 12-month employment, we're interviewing constantly. And you, how do you explain your way through the value of our business when they say you're going to have to go on a break? And so have you found the right sort of language or statement that sort of helps people get over the hump of seasonalities of this business?
So we do call it, so I think calling it a break does help, because I think the word layoff in other industries and other businesses, I think the misconception is that if I'm laid off, it's a question as like, are they going to choose me to come back? And so we're very intentional about saying, like, on winter break, there is no question as to whether or not you're coming back. Like, you're guaranteed a spot. It's just you're taking a little break. We also hold over their benefits. So, for example, you know, if they have medical benefits, if they have, you know, vision, dental, they, you know, we carry their premium during winter break, and then just set up a repayment, like their portion of the premium, we just set up a repayment arrangement when they get back. So that way there's no loss of coverage. They still have that coverage during winter break. So we make sure to explain that during the phone interview when we have our initial conversation with any candidate. We also explain all of the nuances of the position and the additional pay that they're entitled to help carry them over during the winter break. We also like make sure to poignantly in the times where they might be getting a lot of overtime. So we all have those points, right? You know, early spring and fall aeration and seeding in our business. Those are times when we know our team's going to get overtime just because of the nature of what we're doing. So whenever we have those times, we make sure to tell our team, like, hey, are you squirreling away, you know, some of that overtime as a cushion to help offset your unemployment for winter break? So it's all of these little things, you know, reminders throughout the year. It's, you know, making sure that we are upfront about even, you know, how our tenured team members have used this as an opportunity just to rest and relax, you know, is also a great way to just kind of explain it to an applicant, because there are tons of our staff who look forward to that winter break because they have worked so hard during the season. Yeah. That they're just like, I need a break. I need to do my honey-do list. I want to go on vacation. So all of those nuances do help explain, you know, to a candidate. And we have proof, right? We have proof from all of these tenured team members. So
I have to say, it really resonates with me. And I really love how I hear you and the company embracing that time and just not shying away from like, oh, we got to lay people off, but we don't really want to talk about it, because what if they go find a different job or whatever, as Brett's talking about. You're really just, it's transparent. It's open. It's part of the vocabulary, the vernacular of the organization, it sounds like. And you made a great point about like just the wording that is used and how that just changes the whole tone of what winter break is. It's a break. It's a winter break. It's something we all talk about. Everybody knows about it. And how just the careful use of language can change the tone and feel for the employee about what that means.
Yeah, absolutely. Something else that we do that is also super impactful, before team members even go on winter break, we have in years past, and this year we just did it in natural conversation, but we've done surveys. And so, like, here's a survey before we go on winter break. Tell us how this winter break is going to impact you. So we ask questions like, do you have any additional skills? Because we all have winter projects, right? We have our, you know, trucks that need maintenance. We have our equipment that needs winter maintenance. We do all of our oil changes during that time. So we ask, you know, very poignantly in those surveys, do you have any additional skills that we could potentially use over, you know, winter break? We ask, you know, financially, you know, how would it impact you? if you were only receiving unemployment, so 60% of your weekly take-home pay, how would that impact you? You know, if you were only able to get 20 hours per week, you know, would that assist you? So again, just asking some, you know, key questions to get some feedback. You know, are you feeling apprehensive about, you know, winter break? So, you know, that's another thing that we do prior to, just to garner some feedback from the team. So again, we know what collective, and some of them are like, hey, you know, I'm going on winter break and I'm feeling fine. But then we can have follow-up conversations with individuals who are apprehensive or not understanding the process or need a little bit more support, you know, throughout winter break. So, you know, it is a little bit more work, but at the end of the day, it helps, you know, immensely with retention. And again, to ensure that they know that we do care about them and we do want them to return for that next season.
Is that something that you do with all the employees that are going on winter break, and do you do it every year?
Yes.
Well, and I can appreciate the effort that does, but on the retention side, that's got to have huge upside. And so I would imagine where it's tough or the piece, but if those folks continue to, your team members continue to return, they're part of the system, they get it, they understand it, they're building off of that versus having to restart the story and build off the same piece. So have you seen a retention growth with all these efforts, and or how do you measure that?
Absolutely. So we have a very high return rate in terms of those individuals who, you know, go on winter break and return. It's in the 90 to 95%. So, you know, we might lose, you know, 1 to 3 team members during winter break. And keep in mind, we have probably 40 team members, maybe more than that, 50, 60 technicians who go on winter break. So it's a very high return. And I do attribute that to the hard work that our leaders are doing in making sure that their team is engaged throughout the winter.
Yeah, I think that's an important part. We're conducting winter training. You know, we think that it's like some of the best opportunity, especially with a lack of snow in our market. Well, everybody's here, they're generally available. There's some that come in at childcare and all those pieces, but they're coming in, they're excited about it. Seasonal changes here, the intensity of spring, they're like, okay, we could use a break. Winter is fun. We love winter. Then winter becomes this monster of a thing. You're like, okay, winter's got to stop, please, please, please. And let's get into the spring. So to be able to come into the calmer times and talk about plans and actions, and it's often a lot of the feedback we have is they just want to be more engaged in what we're doing and how do we plan for things. And when you can integrate them into that, then their buy-in's just tremendously high too. So we're that intention, all of our efforts are about retaining those folks and mm-hmm. having them grow and build off those pieces.
Absolutely.
All right. So you've figured out the recruiting piece. Well, now, okay. So from the outside, Where are you finding, or what's your strategies to continue to find new folks?
So, I mean, everybody is using Indeed. So I'm not going to talk about, you know, posting on Indeed, because I mean, everybody's posting there. What I will say though, and everyone is calling it something different, I call it sourcing. So that's where you're proactively reaching out to individuals on Indeed who may have recently updated their resume. So I want to make sure we're using the same language. So I call that sourcing. Some people might call it headhunting. I don't like that terminology, so we call it sourcing. So what we did this year, and you know, what I encourage, you know, any company to do is, you know, always think of your recruiting process as a sales process. And so we've already paid potentially, you know, so last year we sourced over 4,000 people, and a ton of them. So they have two different options. You're either interested in the position that we sourced you for, or you're not interested. So we had a ton of people who responded that they were interested, but for some reason or another, we never connected with them. So maybe we called them and they never got back to us, or we sent them an email, they never responded. So what we did at the beginning of this year is we've already paid for all of those people who said at one point they were interested in potentially working at Blades of Green. So how can we reuse that data that we already paid for? And just like in a sales process where you have a drip campaign, like how do we set that up from a recruitment standpoint? And so this year we've had so far two recruitment call nights where we're basically canned calling. And we've certainly set up parameters. So maybe we sly dial, which is like a robo dial to anyone 6 months and older. And then we're hand calling, you know, the 6 months to now individuals. But that produced, and again, basically we were just paying for our time because we already paid for the contacts in our 2023 recruitment budget. And we got a couple hires out of that specifically. So I think, you know, what the learning was is, you know, how do we repurpose what we've already paid for? And how do we, because the reality is sometimes we reach out to individuals, they say they're interested, and then, you know, maybe they're gun shy, but maybe they were gun shy 3 months ago, but they had a bad day at work, or, you know, maybe they're on winter break, especially if they're somebody who has industry experience, you know, maybe they're currently on winter break. You know, how are we using that information to garner great candidates? So that was really something in 2024, like we implemented. In 2023, we started that drip campaign. So for any individuals who were interested, if we didn't hear back from a phone call, then after a week later, we were sending them an automatic email, then 30 days, an automatic email, 6 months, an automatic email, a year, automatic email. Just like you would do for like a cancel reject campaign on the sales side or something like that. So I know that doesn't sound like super novel or anything, but again, it's just kind of repurposing what you've already paid for. In addition to that, we're also looking at, you know, how do we be more intentional about our community partnerships? So, you know, everyone, regardless of where you are across the nation, you have those, you know, local workforce development corporations or unemployment offices, or, you know, maybe some other community partners that you have potentially built relationships with. And so it's looking at those types of partnerships that, again, probably don't cost anything. If they do cost something, then they're probably not a community partnership. And, you know, how can we be seen as an employer of choice? So that way, when an applicant is in front of a community partner, they're thinking of Blades of Green, and Blades of Green, you know, first and foremost, because the reality is they talk to so many employers, they have so many candidates that, you know, they're going to think about the employer that they talk to last, not necessarily, you know, Blades of Green every time. So it's, you know, being more intentional about, you know, do we need to contact them on a weekly basis? Do we need to contact them on a monthly basis? What is that cadence? What should that cadence be? So, you know, really bolstering those community partnerships and being more intentional about those. And again, getting more bang for our buck, which in this instance would be time. So those are just a couple of things, you know, just kind of thinking about how we're spending our money a little bit more efficiently, and, you know, taking applicants that we've already paid for and reusing them more effectively.
I love it. I think it captures that very, very well. Again, I always love when our listeners, I'm sure someone's going to be writing a lot of this stuff down. And it, like I said, it's not new to many of us. And so how do you just sort of lean in to some of those pieces?
Yeah, and I think also being intentional about, like your interview process, I think is also super important. So we have at Blades of Green a three-step interview process for all of our applicants, regardless of whether you're a technician, a CSR, a sales team member. And we're, you know, this year at the beginning of the year, we took a look at, you know, all of our interview questions, and we said, are they still meaningful? Are they getting us the candidates or, you know, the new hires that we need? And what we really learned is that we need to be more intentional about asking scenario-based questions that are applicable to our business. And because a lot of times the reality is we're hiring entry-level team members who have no experience in our industry. So things like, you know, if a client approached you and they wanted to cancel service, how would you deal with that? What would you do? And, you know, usually a candidate can, you know, kind, they don't really need to know anything about our industry in order to answer that question. So again, you know, we redid all of our interview questions, did some training with our management team to make sure they understood, because we did have some new managers who joined, you know, the interview panels and things like that. So we did some training, you know, what you can and what you can't ask. And a lot of times those questions just happen naturally in conversation. So again, being intentional about the questions, being intentional about training to make sure that we're really digging down deep to make sure we get the right candidates in the door.
This is good. Good. I know that before, in preparation for our recording today, I shared that I wanted to hear more about, you know, ideas that you had that were out of the box kind of tactics. And you've shared some of those both for retaining employees when they're on winter break, ideas for touch points with people you're trying to bring into the organization. And I wanted to swing back around just for a minute quick here to what we kind of one thing you started talking about earlier on in our conversation, and that was about some of the ways that you're engaging employees and specifically helping people see that lawn care and landscaping is a viable career path. So I kind of, you started talking about that, then I kind of took us in a different direction, but I'd love for you maybe just to spend a minute and talk about thoughts that you had about how we do that better. How do we help people understand that it's not just, you know, get an old rusty pickup and mow lawns, you know, that it's a real viable career path, long-term path that can bring a lot of opportunity and success to individuals and families. Mm-hmm. Do you have some thoughts that you would just share with about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Three things specifically come to mind. So the first thing is certifications. And so there are countless examples, and I understand from a business standpoint, you know, a business owner is probably thinking, you know, it costs money to send a team member to get certified. What if they leave, right? And I get it. But there are countless applicants that me and my team talk to where they have been with industry companies for years, you know, 3 years, 5 years, sometimes even 10 years, and have never gotten professionally certified. And so when you have that certification, when you hold a state certification, it is saying that you're a professional in the industry. So just that simple act of sending a team member who meets your state qualifications to get a state certification is showing them that there is a path for a career, because it is basically saying to them that they are a professional, certified professional in our industry. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, you know, I think having conversations regularly about where your team members want to grow, where they see themselves. And the reality is you do need to be prepared for these questions, or excuse me, for these answers, because it may be that a team member says, I really want to learn about finance. Maybe they're on the production team, you know, and they say, I really have a passion for finance. And so you need to be prepared if somebody is a lawn care technician and says, I want to learn about finance, what are you going to do in that situation? Because the worst thing that you could do is ask the question and then be like, oh, no, we can't do anything about that. So I say, you know, have the conversations, ask the questions, but be willing to, you know, talk about it if they want something totally outside the realm of what you might be assuming they would be interested in. And then the third thing is, you know, I think it's important for, you know, team members to visually see some sort of career path. And so within your organization, within your company, is there visually, like, can they very succinctly see, is there something tangible, tactical that they can see where, you know, hey, I've started here, but there's an opportunity for me to advance to a senior technician, a trainer, a service manager, a division manager, if I do X, Y, and Z.
Great, great three thoughts there. Three takeaways: certifications, elevate, you know, the standard, conversations about what people want to do, and be ready to act on that no matter what the answer is. And then helping them see the career path. I love that. Thanks, Angela.
Absolutely.
Well, and so to always keep our listeners coming back each week, we're going to have to end, and we'll invite Angela back for the next three exciting ways to recruit to 100% or something. I don't know. Yeah, we'll come up with a nice good tagline to have you all. But we always end our segments with rose and thorn. So what's going well? What's going a little different through this winter break for you and all those kind of stuff. But so, and what's your rose and thorn?
So my rose is, we've done a lot of really great managerial training, over the course of winter break, specifically in the DEIB space, with our leaders, that I'm super proud and excited about. So, that is definitely my rose. I'm looking forward to seeing that in practice in the 2024 season. My thorn right now is, if we're being honest, my team is learning a new HRIS system. So, you know, just kind of the ebbs and flows and nuances related to that has definitely been a thorn over the course of the last couple of weeks. But we're going to get there. Our season starts next Monday, so we're gonna get there.
I always need these conversations to go right, because like, Scott, you guys are in season. You know, it's been go time, right? And you're right, it's starting to creep up, and we haven't seen snow this month, but I'm like, you know what, we're only a couple, maybe like 4 weeks out before but these constant reminders, like, it's just around the corner. How about you, Skyler? Rose and thorn, what do you got?
Yeah, I'll start with the rose. I got an opportunity to do something really fun and educational this weekend that I hadn't done before. And that was to participate in with some friends that are Vietnamese in the Chinese New Year tradition, which is, and maybe some of our listeners will know about this, but where you offer blessings and hope to our elders. And so I was able to participate in an exercise where I was able to stand in front of a friend, the mother of one of my good friends, and offer her blessings and hope for the new year. And then some of our listeners might know, you then in turn get a red envelope from that individual, which is some kind of blessings in return to something I've never done before. And
fun.
I had to ask a lot of questions about how I'm supposed to do this. And so it was really fun to participate in that. As far as a thorn, I don't really have any big thorns that come to mind. I would say, you know, it's been kind of cold and rainy here. I'm ready for some sunnier, warmer weather here in Dallas. I'm ready to start planting some flowers. So Those are some good things. I don't know if that's much of a thorn or a hope or what, but yeah, just getting ready for spring. You know, the doldrums. I think February is the hardest month for me. I'm not looking forward to Christmas break or holiday break. And, you know, it's kind of like you're past that, but it's not springtime yet. And days are starting to get a little bit longer. So, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now. But things are really good. So,
yeah, you're ready for spring. I could tell. It's already in the tone. It's like, just let's cut this rest of this month out and let's go. I'll say that, you know, I'm hoping for a little more winter, right? We've got our winter break coming up here. And so we'll get the kids out and have some adventures. And so it's a nice little shakeup of all the space. And so we haven't had much of winter, but we're going to go try to find some snow and get excited about that piece. And so when you can balance in this winter break, find these moments to enjoy family and get some things accomplished that you're within work, it makes for a much easier time during the busiest parts of the season. So, you know, it's a blessing and curse. I mean, the no snow has been a little bit of a frustration. And so in terms of engagement, I made the note, like, we're going to have to call a lot of people this week because we've not talked to them in the last couple of weeks or seen them. And so how do we stay with them? So, you know, it is, it's just being aware. And today I learned a lot of just how to stay very, very connected to everybody. Mm. And it's just a hello and it's a quick couple of minutes, and what that means to them could be really substantial. So, always learning, as that we should on this, in these conversations, and that we hope to our listeners, you learned something today too. So thank you, Angela. Appreciate the conversation.
Appreciate you having me.
Before we end, Brad, I just want to do another throw out for, there's another article that Angela wrote in the Edge, which is an NALP publication, and it's entitled "Hello, Goodbye: How to Reduce Employee Turnover," that she just wrote last September. And it was actually based on her presentation at Elevate this year. Another good article. Maybe we can link that in the show notes, if we can link to that short article that talks a little bit about additional things that we've been talking about today. So thank you, Angela, for being on with us. It's been inspiring for all of us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Only the best guests in the industry are on this podcast. So I can't believe more people listen every day. So just we've got it all here for you. So all right, both of you, thank you very much. To our listeners, have a great week, and we'll be talking soon. Take care.